I was contacted by the Agricultural Law Association, who wanted me to take part in a debate to celebrate their 50th anniversary. The style was an Oxford Union debate with two people arguing for 10 minutes against each other, etc. The proposal was: this House believes that we have collectively lost our minds in using productive land for solar schemes and rewilding. This was my response on the night. Thank you, Chair. I want to start by making three brief preliminary points. Firstly, congratulations to the Agricultural Law Association for reaching their 50th anniversary. You wouldn't have made it without your collectively adaptive minds responding to your clients' needs within a rapidly changing agricultural landscape. Secondly, it's not for me to change your minds. You are open-minded enough to do that yourself. As Spike Lee, the film director, said, people are going to make up their own minds. My approach is to put the information into the movie and let people decide for themselves. I respect the intelligence of the audience. And I certainly don't intend to convert you into solar panel PV hugging wolf lovers. Thirdly, as an environmental curator, moderator of events, I couldn't help but run an inquisitive, curious eye over the House's proposal. The meaning of the words productive land 10 years ago would have been straightforward. Gove hadn't reached his unfrozen moment. Remember, this was ABB, agriculture before Brexit. Solar was in its infancy and rewilding was an evolving idea in the mind of a chap named George. I would suggest that productive land would have meant land for producing food. In 2018, I was at the Royal Welsh Show when the CLA president announced somewhat dramatically that the status quo is over. Today, in a public goods world, land use is being repurposed. And hereby lies the linguistic minefield in the ambiguous remit for this debate. This is not about the pros and cons of solar or trying to define rewilding. This is about the phrase productive land and the contextual interpretation of its meaning to the countryside today. Before I move on, I want to say something really quite important. Let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, or should that be the lynx into the forest? We all need to eat. And fabulous, fabulous British farmers are at the forefront of producing safe, plentiful food for the nation within the parameters of a variable climate, statutory environmental obligations, tightening regulation, ambitious net zero targets, all set within a volatile global backdrop. For all that uncertainty, the UK is mostly food secure, whereas other parts of the world, like Sudan, have a serious food security issue on the ability for all people at all times having physical, economic access to safe and nutritious food. So let's not conflate food security with food self-sufficiency, albeit the latter is integral to the former. Of course, we are less self-sufficient than after the war. That also applies to pesticides, farm machinery. But the important matter is the word nutritious, as food productive land depends on healthy soils. We get 2,000 kilocalories per person per day from wheat. And Norman Borlaug, father of the Green Revolution, is an unsung hero of mine. The Common Agricultural Policy, less so. The CAP guaranteed food on the shelves, funded rural communities in less favoured areas, but subsidies also stymied British farmers' ability to innovate, to steward husband resources rather than rely on inputs, when, for example, 70% of fertilisers leach into the environment. All of which leaves a legacy of declining productivity. British farmers are brilliant at producing more from less. We can produce more of what we do well. Grass-fed beef, nourishing oats, indoor, free-range poultry, and great British beans. While we also have a moral obligation to examine the opportunity costs of other uses of the land, with more room for wild nature, trees for timber and carbon, silver pasture, recreation, agroforestry. The government has undertaken a land use consultation. I assume you all did it. The Royal Society, House of Lords, Climate Change Committee have all hinted we can use land for other things. Hey, multifunctional land is just another term for diversification. Spread risk, mitigate against disease, diversify income. As a farming union said recently, renewable energy is a central part of the NFU's net zero ambition, and solar projects offer a good diversification option for farmers. Is that the first hint, or should it be glint, of solar panels? Perhaps members of the House like playing golf, which takes up much more land and sucks water away from irrigating vital crops. I'm just putting that out there. Even with increasing competing demands, food security, energy security, timber security, there is more land than we think. 16 million hectares of utilised agricultural area. And let's not forget that solar is a temporary land use and a financially productive one at that, when, say, compared with permanent pasture. A farmer told me solar was part of his crop rotation, incorporating grazed livestock underneath the panels, resting, restoring soil biodiversity. Solar takes up a tiny area of land. Even in extremis, if the 77 gigawatts target by 2035 is achieved, it would still only use just under 3% of farmland, with advances in technology further reducing the land required for, say, double-sided solar panels. Let's not demonise them by siding with politicians keen to please Middle England's Tesla drivers, which just makes it harder for farmers to embrace this alternative, if temporary, productive land use. Talking of demons, let's touch on rewilding. Ever since I interviewed George Monbiot in 2013 for his book Feral, an excited movement has swept across conventionally managed and sometimes slightly dull countryside. And yes, it can be hard to engage in nuanced conversations on a role for rewilding bits of low-yielding farmland when single-issue agitators leverage the term rewilding against almost any form of existing land use. As woodland was once marked as waste on old maps, today's media frenziedly refers to any hint of tree planting, wildflower margins, forestry or landscape recovery schemes as rewilding. This framing is unhelpful as it ostracises farmers from engaging in adaptive land management practices. Let's optimise the land. What about the three-compartment model which came out of the food strategy? Anyone heard of it? A mosaic of some wild nature on unfarmed land. Other bits of land farmed with nature, organic, NEP style. And other pieces of land farmed with sustainable gene edit precision to intensively produce food. Why push farmers to farm dangerous steep land or even boggy lowlands? I was in the Fens last month and met a farmer on grade one lowland peat, unable to harvest his crops. The land drains, ditches now defunct by having to pump water too many times. If some soils are less versatile, uneconomic for food production, when further scrutinised for their carbon footprint, it may be more productive to be paid to re-wet the land to deliver carbon-based public goods. Let's not tilt at windmills. Too many examples are not rewilding, though arguably some might be called farmland ecosystem restoration schemes. Beware the illusory truth effect, when tribal triggering tropes are repeated until they become ideological gospel, which turns farmers off from even being able to think about land in other ways. I almost feel sorry for DEFRA, the previous strong leadership, which had set them on their current path, has now moved on. Michael Gove, in his unfrozen moment speech, said, "I am also an environmentalist because of hard calculation, as well as prompting of the heart. And this makes me think that now is the time for hard calculation, perhaps less prompting of the heart, as we collectively repurpose and redefine farmland to make it more resilient, more diversely productive for the future. This year is the 100th anniversary of the Great Gatsby, and F. Scott Fitzgerald said, "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function." And so I challenge the House and laud the intelligence of this audience, functioning or otherwise, by proposing that biologically rejuvenated, restored, healthy soils produce more nutritious food using fewer inputs at the same time as other farmland harvests solar energy. Surely a worthy vision for a refreshed, productive 21st century farmed countryside delivering society's multiple demands. On this premise, I urge the House to dismiss the motion. Thank you.